Back, I figured we should add a little injection of what do you call it? You know, flavor to the music this time.
Flavor.
If we click stop, will this mute us? Stop. No, whoa. It doesn't mute us.
No, nah, it just stops.
Maybe that decreases the load on the CPU. I mean, decoding an MP3 file on this laptop could actually be a significant.
God, this laptop, hey. Yeah, I think okay. I was telling them yesterday about that.
Is like that coming up on the show today?
I don't know. Do we want to?
We. Don't put me in with this. It's your crazy shit.
I should, like, upload that thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to. I did a sneaky move the microphone away from my mouth to breathe in there. Can you not do it now? Like, is there a reason you want to do it right now rather than, like, I don't know, any other time?
I can do it any other time.
Okay, cool. Okay. Buses today. How are you feeling about them?
I feel like buses.
You feel like them?
Yeah.
I mean, how many red light runners? How many green light buses? Are they busy? Are they not busy? Because there was, like, big problems in Auckland today with the traffic, right? Well, yes, the trains, thus causing problems with traffic. Also, Auckland anniversary weekend.
Oh, yeah, it is Auckland anniversary, isn't it?
Yeah. Bastards, they get an extra day off.
Yeah, we just got it.
Yeah, but
off.
I'm an honorary Auckland citizen, so I feel like I should get both off.
Yeah, like, were you classed as Auckland then?
We had Auckland anniversary day, yeah.
Right.
Auckland and Hamilton anniversary day. No one leaves on the... Or we even in Hamilton, it was called Auckland Anniversary Day. No, we had to deal with Northland. Is it on the same day in Northland? Okay, so Northland calls it Northland Anniversary. Yeah
like what province is Auckland in?
Auckland is the province.
So Auckland is the province, the city, and the fucking super city now.
Yeah, it's like Wellington. Wellington is the province, yeah. Wellington is the city, and it's not really the super city, but, I mean, it's the greater Wellington, yeah. So it's similar.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Singapore, the city, and also Singapore, the country. The Singapore what, sorry? Sling is a drink as well.
Yeah, you can get them on, Singapore Airlines.
And what is it?
It's a Singapore Sling.
Okay. Is it like a Moscow Mule?
Oh, no. We've ruined things.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Cool. I mean, I don't think it's going to make a massive difference with, like, an extra 5 minutes of light, but that's cool. That's cool.
Gin-based cocktail from Singapore. It was invented by someone at the Raffles Hotel.
Okay. I mean, like, it just sounds like a generic drink to me.
The history of Singapore Sling. Why did we talk about Singapore again?
Because Wellington, Auckland, Singapore, Singapore. Yeah. Do we have any drinks in New Zealand? Like, did we invent any? They have
Tui, mate.
Fuck off. Export gold, yeah.
Kiwi cocktails. I don't know.
I can't think of any, right? Liqueurs. Yeah, I Like, we have a lot of drinking games that I imagine have a lot of, like, New Zealand-specific house rules.
Yeah.
But as for, like, New Zealand cocktails... Four
Kings is, like, pretty Kiwi.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real weird when, like, foreigners come over and you're, like...
Is Four Kings same as King's Cup?
Yeah, King's Cup, Circle of Death.
Yeah.
Kings.
What's this one? Which one?
That's another one, yeah. P's and A's is not a drinking game.
It's a car game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could drink for
the fun drinking games of Dave.
Yeah. It's like it goes flashes. This is where we have a cut to his family and they were just getting wasted while playing card games. Hey, fucking pass the vodka. Yeah, fuck you. Put down it too. My partner's family plays a lot of card games and drinks as well, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever combined the two. But, well, I mean, not while I've been around. Look at those little people in their bus there. Look at them. Just on the bus.
True wave.
Maybe. It's actually, like, kind of hard. There's, like, this window is significantly dirtier than I remember it being
so
in the past.
So gross, I need to get out and clean it. Oh, gross. There's a fucking shit right there.
A bird shit, not a human one, just in case anyone on the stream was wondering about that. Yeah, okay. Well, how about we switch gears? We change lanes.
Yeah.
We'll call it something else. We'll enter the highway.
Into
right?
the highway?
We're currently meandering on some suburban streets, and let's enter the highway on this bus, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Do we want to enter onto the bus highway or the tech highway? Or I guess it's one highway. Which lane do we want to swerve out onto? The information superhighway?
Oh,
yeah.
It's a...
Okay, where? What?
Oh, no.
Wow, there's more tech news?
There's more
like?
Tech news,
Didn't our reporter say she sent through 20 different bus stories?
Did I miss one off? I might have.
One? There's not 19 bus stories there, buddy.
I don't know where she is. I thought she was coming here.
She could be coming later. Like often happens like that. Hey, so these blue buses, you might know, consultant Mr. D. What's up with them?
Four, yeah. There's literally only four.
I haven't seen one of him. Yeah. Okay, so NZ Bus from Auckland. So yet again, rather than have our own buses, we take the rejects from Auckland. Cool.
This might come up in that last story, actually.
I have no idea what... I'm interested to see what the story is, because just to give you a sneak peek, currently all it says is zombies. Zombie. I don't know what... It's in the bus lane, but I don't know what the hell it's talking about. It was in the tech, you know, I have an idea, right?
Yeah.
Some kind of botnet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, it's in the bus lane and just says zombies. So we'll have to find out what that means. Okay, so the top news story of the week, the best news one, is Chlorine UTech.
Yeah, so Chlorine UTech. So Chlorine, it's a popular browser.
Chlorine's a popular... It wouldn't actually make a bad browser name, Chlorine.
Yeah,
because you could swing it as like, oh, we filtered, like, as a privacy enhancing browser, Chlorine, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like it gives you like a nice, like, pleasant internet experience because it kills. That's it. Fuck yeah, pivot. Bus factor. Fuck that. We now Chlorine browser. We make our own browser.
Well, we could actually fork a popular open source one called Chromium, because
that'd
be
dumb, but we could do it.
Well, we could, and then.
Fucking monstrous code base. Can you imagine trying to maintain that bitch? That'd be crazy.
You'd just not add any features and basically just merge in the security ones.
Yeah, I'd just track upstream. I wouldn't fork it. I would just create a patch sheet for it if I wanted to do it. There's a feature I didn't want. I'd just be like, yo, we're still tracking upstream Chromium, but here's a patch to apply and we'll just make sure it applies cleanly off the top.
Yeah, so I guess this story isn't like strictly infosec. So,
well, neither is anything in the bus lane.
Yeah.
So
there's a popular thing called, well, like basically any ad blocker on Chrome may not work.
Not
soon.
True.
Well, go on. Explain a bit more.
So they're proposing a change to the way extensions can interface with network code.
Yeah.
I believe the way it currently works is you can basically say, "Hey, when a network request comes in, hand it to me. I'll do some processing on it, decide whether it's allowed, change it, inject headers, blah, blah, blah." Basically, like, have full control of it, and then you can get it back.
And now you have to go through an API.
Well, I mean, it was already an API.
Yeah.
They changed the way it works, so you no longer have the option of modifying requests in transit. You like, not generally, not using that paradigm. The new proposal is to say, oh, that will be the reporter now.
Yeah, I was just about to miss it, actually.
The new way of doing it is you can say things like access the block API and specify rules. So you can say, hey, yeah, anything that's got doubleclick.net in it, block that.
Yeah.
So this does mean that some ad blockers, like adblock, that will work, because the way they work is they take a block list, which includes domains, yep, and you know, it has wildcards in it, it does have rules. And then they just apply that. So there is going to be that's a problem for people who want to do more complex blocking.
Yeah. So stuff like uBlock, Matrix, and Origin.
They do things sometimes like insert new CSPs to content to prevent execution of JavaScript.
Yeah.
That's a nifty way of doing it. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, but it's pretty crazy. I've seen a few talks on uBlock Matrix. So that Matrix is the one where you can be like, I don't want JavaScript on this or CSS on this, but like I do if it's in this. And like you basically have a full configurable matrix.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
really powerful.
There's definitely... like people want that. At least some people do, but not a lot of people. Most Chrome users probably don't.
I just use Origin mainly, which is basically just an ad blocker.
Yeah, I use uBlock as well, yeah. muBlock? I think they want to pronounce muBlock or uBlock.
I think I've always heard uBlock.
I hear uBlock, but occasionally like the guide will be like, it's muBlock. I'm like, cool, bro. muBlock, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But there's another limit with this new API. They limit it to 30,000... posts that you can block. And I understand the reason for this, performance. And that's a large part of what their changes are trying to do is increase performance. Because if you have 10 extensions and each of them say, I will not allow this network request to succeed until I've analyzed its request, its response, it's slow. It slows down your browser experience. So they want to make it so it's non-blocking for extensions to do that kind of thing. Performance. So that's why the 30,000 limit is there, I believe. But they also care about security. So the flip side in the security angle is that all the changes are also made to kind of limit the impact of malicious extensions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shit show in Chrome right now.
Oh,
it's like, if someone compromises an extension, it's like, you're fucked. Which, I mean, like desktops have operated like that for a long time, right?
Mm.
Where it's kind of like, if anything goes wrong, you're fucked.
I think we've talked about that whole model before, like desktop model versus the
mobile model
versus like the Chrome, the browser model.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just how packaging works. It's
yeah,
it's kind of shit.
It's weird because I like the desktop model, but people point out like if you install a malicious app on your iPhone, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's nothing's gonna go wrong. If you install a malicious app on your desktop, it is over. There is nothing you can do to prevent it. You're like, oh, I ran into the low prof user. It's like, well, oh, blah, 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 fucking yes.
What was that
yes,
one?
Yes, easy.
I'll see it in a few easy. Minutes.
That's why I was like,
blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at it. Yeah.
Pretty egregious, wouldn't you say?
It's number four.
Number four, more like number floored it through that intersection. You didn't laugh.
Yeah, so you use Chrome.
Yeah, I use Chrome. It is the best browser, I think.
Will
it's
this
hard
affect
to argue.
You?
Well, first of all, this is a proposal.
Yeah.
They said, here's a proposal, let's get feedback. And people gave their feedback. I feel real sorry for the Chrome team.
Yeah.
They made it, there was like a bug report raised about
it. Oh, yeah. And they were like, this is just not the right
like,
place.
This is, they're like, make a post here on the mailing list. And like still 10 people came in and commented being like, oh, here's my opinion. And they locked it. And they were just like, read our fucking thing. Make a post on the mailing list. We can't have it. We can't iterate over a design in a bug tracker. It's not a bug. I feel real bad for them because when this shit hits, like we're talking about it now, everyone else has talked about it. There are 10,000 idiots who go in and say, I don't want you anti-competitive. Chrome's the devil. Google is trying to hurt us. Like, and
it is kind of interesting. So like, as we've said, the change is more for performance and security.
Yeah,
so
that's their intention.
That's the reason why they're doing it. But a lot of people are saying, like, oh, they're going to make ad blockers stop working. And Google's an ad company. Like, majority of their revenue comes from serving ads.
So
people are like, whoa, Google's fucking forcing ads on us.
I'm sure that plays into it, right? Like, I'm sure they're aware
I don't
of
think
that.
It... They're probably aware that it might be a thing, but I don't think it was the primary
concern. I don't think
or
that
even
was
like secondary. It was kind of like, oh yeah, this will kind of help us in the long run.
Yeah, no, I agree. Chrome makes decisions that improve security and privacy, and they say 1% of users are fucked by this. We don't care.
Yeah.
And I think that's in like stark contrast to the Firefox model, right? The Firefox model for a long time was the 1% of our users care. The long tail of users, we care about that. Yeah. We want it extensible. We want it secure. But, you know, we'll give you the features you want. And then, of course, what happened was Firefox lost users because the 99% of users moved to Chrome.
Yeah.
And then Firefox was like, oh, let's get rid of all the things that make people love Firefox. And I was like, well, now you've lost 99% of users and all the people who wanted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was weird when that shit started happening.
Oh, right? It was real weird.
They were just like, we're going to copy Chrome and everything. And it's like, that's not, you silly billies.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. This I would expect to see the design iterated a few times. At the very least, I don't think they would stick with the same 30,000 limit of hosts.
Yeah. I would expect some things to change, and like they might open up a bit more stuff to try and make stuff like that kind of still work, but maybe like less featuresome.
Yeah, someone suggested like rather than doing just a plain block list of, you know, stars, because essentially the way the API works is you can pass in an ad block plus block list and it will work, and that is it.
Yeah,
it's like designed for ad block plus, if that makes sense. And someone pointed out like, ad block, I don't know what the difference is between plus and non plus. Someone pointed out that Google pays to have ad block display their ads. You know how that works, right?
Yeah.
So like, but I don't think that was their intention. It's just a simple, it's like a very simple blockless format. Someone pointed out that they could just include like a more like eBPF style filter where it's kind of like, you know, you have a lot more flexibility in that filtering. So I could see them changing it like that. So still saying like, right, your extensions can't block requests, but the language they can use to describe when it should be blocked is significantly increased.
Mm. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Someone suggested that instead of, well, as well as doing this, why doesn't Chrome like implement the same features of uBlock Matrix into Chrome?
Yeah,
which would be kind of interesting. Like, it is something a browser would kind of like.
I mean, if you think about what percentage of users use uBlock Matrix, it's low. And I do think there's an argument we've made that like a company like Chrome, or rather like a product like Chrome, its job is not necessarily to police the content that users see. And that was definitely a red light runner there. I think when they start deciding what JavaScript to block, or, you know, these ads are bad, they do kind of muddy the waters a bit.
And yeah, that's easy.
Some things are like clear, right? Pop-up blockers, yeah, do that, go ahead. But like, block these JavaScript files, like, maybe not. So I can see why they don't want to go into that. We've lost them.
Nah.
It's plugged into the Matrix.
I was just setting up the news.
Okay. Well, do you want to switch to a news story now then? The bus one.
I guess we could. Do you know there's a fucking crisis in the world?
A crisis? I can think of, off the top of my head, I can think of like five, so...
Well, if we narrow it down, there's also a crisis in Wellington.
A crisis in Wellington?
The Wellington bus crisis.
Damn, the Wellington bus crisis. Is that...
What's this tagline? Why people-centered design matters and agencies need to work together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some random...
I guess I'd call it a crisis.
They posted on LinkedIn, and it's actually quite a good blog post. I sent it to you. I don't know if you read it.
I saw the link. I haven't been awake today.
It's got like a sweet infographic as well. But basically, they were like, so Greater Wellington City Council, Wellington City Council, and NZTA all kind of want the same thing, but they're all like fighting against each other and not getting that thing.
Yeah,
easy.
Damn.
Yeah, it's
rolling
a bit
up today. I don't think they all do want the same thing, really.
Oh, well, they kind of all want the same high level thing.
Yeah, high level. Yeah, they want a good performing bus network, right?
And like, one of the comments was made that like they did all these changes, but they don't meet their own needs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we want this. We'll do this. We still don't have what we want. Yeah, but
it's worse now. Yeah. At least we did something.
Yeah.
That's like a common thing, isn't it? Like, the at least we did something. Like, we got to do something. We got to do something even
you
if it makes it
worse.
You
definitely do the wrong thing, though. Yeah. Like, just definitely.
Yeah. I do wonder, like, so, yeah, go ahead. Like, I don't know what the, how they measure success, but I'd be interested to see whether they consider the bus changes a success. And I think they probably would say, yeah, it was successful. But perhaps if they think about kind of their metrics, like you talk about like SMART goals a lot, need to be measurable, attainable, something and something. I do wonder if they have any measurements that kind of let them say more conclusively, yes, this bus network was a good change. Or whether they just have kind of said, well, there was a change and we think it's good. But I don't know what their metrics are. Certainly, if you look at like on-time buses, those things have gone down a lot, but I don't know.
Crazy amount.
How do you define success in a bus network? I guess number of commuters would be the probably the best way to
answer it. Yeah, so we've actually got a story a bit later about number of commuters. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that. So I think we talked couple of weeks ago about you mentioned buses being late.
Yeah.
And you know how I did like an OIA on like all the serious cases in like 1 month and there was like 100.
Yeah, I've seen some. You've done like, a lot of them, but I've seen some, yeah.
So a lot of those serious cases were like
bus not coming. Yeah.
So I now know why that was marked as serious.
Why was it marked as serious?
A serious incident is anything that's like unsafe or involves a child.
Involves a child?
Yeah.
Ah.
So like some of these things they were saying like it might have been someone was trying to use a child's snapper card.
Yeah.
And like it was an adult, it was just a child's snapper card, but it get put on the child system because like people just see the keyword child and they're like serious.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's... It explains a lot.
Yeah, okay. I can understand why they've done that. I'm not sure it's the best thing to do.
Yeah, so I mean, I've suggested having kind of two, which is one is safety and one is serious.
Other, yeah. Safety, yeah, I can understand why you'd want a safety thing rather than just a serious that includes children. Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting. A little bit of knowledge about the internal workings of Midlink here.
Yeah, we could talk more about that later. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to like annoy them, you know. But like, yeah.
I have a different opinion on them now.
Yeah, a better one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to briefly just mention what you did to change your opinion?
Oh, I guess I could. Yeah. So yesterday I met with
who? I didn't know he worked there.
Huh?
I didn't know he worked there.
Who? Oh, no. I met with like five heads of department at the regional council.
Yeah.
So like the person in charge of public transport, the person in charge of like dealing with all the operators, the person in charge of the OIAs, and like a couple of other people.
Yeah.
Can't quite remember off the top of my head, but
nonetheless, you had a chat with them and you've changed your opinion, you know.
Yeah, so they do actually seem like they're doing stuff seriously, even though it doesn't seem like they are.
Yeah, because I guess the stuff we see is we can mainly infer things from the emails they send us and the amount of buses running red lights.
Yeah.
And the amount of buses running red lights is not changing. So
it's changing.
Is it?
It's just getting worse.
Or the AI is getting better.
Yeah, well, I think it's mainly that.
Yeah. But we also see the emails. So if we see the emails and then no changes, we're kind of like, they're lying to us. So
yeah,
nice
it's kind of interesting because like a lot of my emails.
Is that a red light? Can you read that for us?
Instant replay. Yes.
Okay.
It was number four.
Bump it up. Now, at the fourth red light runner was number four. Bam.
Not route number four, but just at number four. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. So they were interested in the AI. Like, I had a bit of a chat about how it worked. Because they were like, you're just recording constantly. Like, how does, like, what happens? Like, does it always detect buses? Or, like, does it detect other things, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this, yeah, is, yeah, this is kind of how it works.
The use of the word AI in this kind of sense, I think, instills in people a much greater idea of what it does and how it works and what it is.
Yeah. I remember telling my wife about this AI, and she was just like, it's just math. And I'm like, yeah, that's all AI.
She's figured it out. Scurry, boys, get out of here. A non-tech person's figured out the lies we tell everyone. It's AI. It's blockchain. It's AI.
It's all just math. Crypto. Yeah. Fucking math.
At least crypto is like a novel way of math. This is like, AI is just the most useless math.
It does some stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'd prefer, when I think of AI, like, I tend to prefer, I guess, I don't know, the terminology gets cluttered, but like if someone hands me like a genetic evolutionary algorithm, right?
Yep.
I could just stand up as well, but that does help. Yeah, thank you. Like that to me, oh my God, no.
It needs to, yeah.
You can see the blinds. Oh no, it's like overloaded the amount of bandwidth the camera has free to deal with this kind of shit. And it's like, oh no, it's maxed out now. Yeah, someone, because you know, like a evolutionary algorithm. To me, that's like, ooh, that's AI right there. It's not, but like,
oh, I think there was this one.
Okay. Well, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, bump it up. That's like a cool thing. Whereas, like, if you're doing like a neural network, I'm like, neural networks are not even cool. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I'm just like, meh.
They do stuff though. There are some applications of neural nets that work out trends.
Yeah, no, I mean, sure, they do what they do. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying they're not cool. To me, they're not cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have, like an evolutionary algorithm or something like that. That's way cooler to me.
Yeah, evolutionary is, I mean, it just has different use cases.
Yeah, and it's like, generally it's worse. And
like, you can have like deep neural nets as well, which like we've seen have been quite cool. Have we talked about the Google AIs on this?
They're like the translate ones? That's what they use there for, right?
No, like the deep neural nets. What's it called? Deep Dream or something?
Yeah, this like visual processing one. Like, I don't think we've talked about it, but it's like, to me, once again, like, nah.
It's not fun for you. All right. Yeah.
The translate one's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like kind of obvious when you think about it. But one of the ways it works, and like I haven't done machine learning at university. I've barely even done it on Coursera.
Can tell.
Yeah, I know, right? But this one time, I coded something in PHP, so it's pretty cool. They have the intermediary language, right? They convert from language A to intermediary language to language B.
Yep.
And people anthropomorphize it quite a lot. The Google AI invented its own language. It's like invented a new language that it can use to like really like tell. It's like that's anthropomorphizing something way more than it should be.
It there's basically a hidden layer that does some stuff.
Yeah. It's more math, motherfucker. It's math all the way down.
That intermediate language. You will not be able to comprehend.
Yeah, like, no, it's not designed for humans, right? It's not like a new language you can use to talk to people. In any case, well, what's that? Should we switch up to a new blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I this next one I kind of like.
The left or right?
APT, Advanced Persistent Threat.
Oh, yes. I didn't know you were going to make that joke, but I should have seen it coming. The Advanced Persistent Threat, ICE. Tell us about it.
You've used Debian, right?
I mean, Ubuntu I use quite a lot.
Yeah, I suppose Debian or Debian-based system, which is Ubuntu, and now Ubuntu-based systems.
Ubuntu's just
taken over.
Yeah, no, right. I tend to use Debian for kind of like standalone boxes for just me. Ubuntu for when I need to host something for other people. Like our infrastructure here is Ubuntu, for example. Yeah. And then my server at home, which is my server that I play. It's a playground server, not doing anything important.
Yep.
It's Gentoo.
Yeah, so
that's
like
my distro.
Apt.
APT. Yeah.
APT.
Does it stand for something? Or what's its like name?
Advanced Package Table. No.
So it's an acronym though.
Yeah. I don't have apt on this.
Advanced Packaged. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah, knowing Gentoo, you probably could install app on there. Oh, look at that. Bus blocking a red light. We count that, right?
Yep.
Damn right, we count that. Bump it up.
Apt is the package manager for Debian and Debian derivatives, yep. Which is Ubuntu. So it's kind of interesting how it works. We won't like delve into the fucking technical stuff, but the gist is that you send some requests off to places. I should note now.
You weren't kidding about not getting technical.
Yeah.
You should note now what?
By default, it runs off HTTP.
Yeah, on a default install, yeah.
Which people have like written up saying it's not actually that bad because...
It's all signed.
Yeah, everything's signed. So
this is... you might recognize another story.
Boom, there was one.
Did I count it? No. Yeah, you might know another story that we're about to get to involving HTTPS and signing. Yes.
Yeah, so this one, like... basically, if you can man in the middle some HTTP server and force a redirect, so just a normal 301 or any 300 level HTTP request.
317?
Well, 301, 307, 30, like they're all redirects.
315?
Yeah. I think just anything in the 300 is...
Will it interpret as... I don't actually know. I haven't checked how they work.
There's only a couple of main ones.
Yeah, 301, 302.
If you throw it like 317, it might be like, oh...
Anyway, carry on, sorry.
So basically if you send that, it will... There's kind of like a tool, a helper program that is dealing with that, and that helper program then tells apt itself, hey, like this happened, you now need to request this. And that helper program also gives the output, say, this is the file you need to install, this is the signature, so you can, like, check all that.
Okay.
Now,
I see
what
this is.
Happens is when you get a redirect,
yeah.
It kind of just puts it into that, data stream verbatim, so you can put in, like, escape characters. So, like,
this is your signature you need to check.
Yeah, so you just put in a new line, write some more stuff, and being like, yeah, this is the file you want. This is the signature.
And
all
then
good.
Apt verifies that signature. Oh, that was another one. That was quite bad.
Yeah, it was quite a nifty, like, little chain of how it does it. I was like, damn.
It's not obvious that you could do it, right? It's one of those things where probably over the years... A few people have said, huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Not looked into it. And then someone said, well, that's weird. Wait a second.
Yeah. I mean, people have definitely looked into, it's HTTP by default.
Can
but
we
it's
break
fine.
It? Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, if it's signed, that.
Yeah. But this is a good, if the signature specified.
I mean,
in that
guess the bug is really you've got an injection point.
Yeah. I mean,
so you could
a few different
solve that
things.
And then. So, like, if you manage to man in the middle an HTTPS server, somehow managed to.
I think they did fix that part of it as well. Dan, that's another one. Damn, coming up fast today. So I think they did fix that part as well, right? Because one of the things they pointed out was that at the moment, if you hit a rogue mirror, they can't do anything. So they even can't deny you getting an update.
Yeah.
Because the way it works is the mirrors have a signed file that says this is when I was last updated. And if that's out of date, then your computer can be like, hang on a second, I need a newer update than this, hit a new mirror.
Yeah.
At least I think that's how it works. I haven't looked into it recently, but I remember discussing it. But of course, if a mirror owner was malicious, they could implement this and get RCE on your computer. So they did fix the injection point as well, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's why. So people were like, "Huh, this is why you should use HTTPS." Then people were like, "Well, a rogue mirror owner can still own you, and if you did own HTTPS." But my thing is like, but less people can own you. It goes from anyone between here and the mirror to the mirror owner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd rather have less people be able to own me.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think there's value in it. For example, FSMG here in New Zealand, they have HTTPS mirrors.
Yep.
But I will say the proxying support with apt is not super good. If you specify an HTTP proxy and then that tries to connect to HTTPS to somewhere else, it doesn't work. So you need to...
And you also need to install another package to get HTTPS support in apt.
For real?
Yeah, so you have to get apt transport HTTPS.
In Ubuntu nowadays, you don't have to. I think it comes by default.
The thing I read said there wasn't default still.
Debian, maybe?
It might be Debian, yeah.
In Ubuntu, which we run here at work, yeah. I do know that HTTPS works because we use it on servers. So yeah. I know we haven't installed extra packages for it.
I do find it kind of ironic that to get HTTPS, you have to install a package
using over HTTP. Or it's like people are like, oh, when installing the security update, you should probably run this code to disable the redirect so you don't get owned while installing it. And I saw someone was like, oh, how do I update this securely? I'm going to have to do this. I can run this. And then they were like, oh, wait, no, my auto upgrade's actually already installed the update. And I was in the same place where I was like, how am I going to? Oh, it's already done.
Yeah, I suppose there was also an option to just disable the redirects as well. So if your mirror has redirects, it'll break it, but
it's not often you have that. Yeah.
So I think they actually fix it a few ways. So they stop the injection point. They also allow you to just stop redirects.
Yeah.
And then if you do HTTPS, that also
helps. It's not really a fix, but yeah, it doesn't hurt. Maybe this will drive people to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, pretty... Do you think we're ever going to use this on a job? The answer is no.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if, normally when we have access to a server, we can get root. Easy. Oh, yeah, I should say this runs as root.
Well, app runs as root.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have lowprev on a user, you can't really use this to privisk. Unless you had lowprev, the update wasn't installed, you also had some kind of man in the middle... And auto updates were enabled. Of course, if auto updates are enabled, then presumably you can. Yeah. Well, one way this might actually be useful in the real world is if you know, like on Linode or something, when the very first install is like older, it's older, they don't update it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a window there. If you manage to man in the middle all of Linode for, or Linode's up mirrors for something, call, or AWS or whoever else.
Yeah.
Could be nifty. Could do that. But other than that, it seems very low.
Yeah.
If you had had this for a long time, though.
I mean, I guess my gist is I like this bug because it's like a weird use of injection and like kind of a line-based protocol that you can get RC with.
Yeah, I mean, PHP
doesn't often happen. Like,
yeah. I think a lot of things don't allow that kind of injection anymore. Like PHP for a long time had, like if you ever did a redirect, you would like header location and input some user input.
Yeah.
They could inject new lines into it and make new HTTP headers, spoof content.
But yeah, I recall that, yeah.
Everything I can think of strips that shit out now. So, I guess not apt, but other things.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a good example of... So, apt uses its own HTTP library to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if it just used one library... So, I think it does... Oh, no, maybe there was like an additional package to basically say, hey, use curl because curl knows how to do this.
Curl has also got shit tons of bugs in it. Like, yeah. It feels like every other month, I'll say, maybe every 6 months, they come out with something broken.
Yeah, like in PHP, Guzzle, like it's a common like HTTP library, and it's like one of the main ways you can get RC with serialize.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, got Guzzle?
Sweet, thanks.
Yeah, it's handy like that. It's one thing I like about PHP now is it used to be all custom and no one would implement like a DC, like a wake up handler or anything. Now everyone uses these complicated as shit libraries and it's like, what? RCE. Yeah. Bam, done.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, sure. Let's switch lanes again.
Yeah.
This one is Yogeltown.
Yogeltown. Yogeltown. There was an attempt at yodeling, but really badly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, currently people in Vogeltown, for people that aren't in Wellington or don't know Wellington, Vogeltown's like just a southern suburb, like a bit past Brooklyn.
Is it south?
Yeah.
I guess the island curves off to the side, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think it's basically south
in
like
the hills
Miramar,
between Newtown and like O'Hara Bay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So, currently... Currently, they're talking about me.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't like.
Did they say something nice?
So currently, people in Vogeltown have to catch two buses.
Yep.
And the transfer station is shit, and people have been complaining left, right, and center.
Classic. Remember when they did the changeover and they're like, oh, yeah, none of the transfer stations are built yet. Sorry, we'll get them done soon. Remember that? Yeah. Like, it's been months and shit.
But yeah, so now they're reinstating an existing route. Classic. So now you can go direct from the station to Vogeltown.
Classic. Fucking, it just... It's like the zoo all over again.
It feels like, or like the Karori to Miramar and the hospital. Yeah. Like, just...
Eventually they're just going to be like, and we're back to the old network. It took us a while, but we solved all the issues and we're back to the good way. The what, sorry, say that again?
The man
has service design abilities. What man?
The man. Is this the design man? The one from the States that has never been to Wellington in his entire life?
Wasn't he the one who said like, oh yeah, it's not going to work properly because like all this shit is wrong? Like, he said it after the fact. Do you want to have a microphone?
So, do we remember when Wellington got designed from England?
We don't know.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you were probably a little boy at that point because you're so old. But they designed Wellington from England, so they lay it out and what it should be like, all the roads and everything. They designed it from Wellington, and then they all got to Wellington and they were like, oh yeah, no.
This isn't going to work.
There's hills.
Just hills, yeah.
So, nothing really worked. So getting someone in from America is not the best way forward in terms of design.
Yeah, makes
sense. Just saying.
Yeah, I can definitely see... For people who aren't aware of it, it's a different city to other places. Got some unique problems. Did you want to? Let's switch up news stories. Did you want
to
go?
Yeah, that one's done. So, should we go back to tech?
Okay. Honk, honk.
Yeah, so people that do bug bounties.
Which, as we said yes last week, they don't make money.
Yeah.
But yes,
it's still interesting. I mean, I like it as a supplementary income.
Yeah, yeah, it's worked out good for you, hasn't it? Mr. Bided House with Bitcoin.
Yeah. Damn, it was hard getting the Bitcoin into real money to.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? You know, you like contributed to the global drug trade by doing that, right?
But European Union have like put together a pile of money to help some open source software. The list they have is really weird.
So this happened a while ago, like a few weeks, maybe?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think talked about it then. Double all the way across the intersection. Oh.
Was that a number one or a number two? No, that's a number three.
Hang on, these numbers, you're talking about the rating system you use?
Yeah.
I think you're talking about routes for ages, and I was like so confused. this monster's up to 11.
So one thing my triaging tool doesn't have is a way to say that was two buses.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Because sometimes it's two.
Sometimes two, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see it happening. Yeah, so EU bug bounty. Yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. So the big problem I saw was that people were saying like, okay, you've given money to people who find bugs. What about to the people who fix it?
Yeah, so like now the developers are being like, holy shit, shit's like, all this shit's happening.
Yeah. I noticed your website has an open redirect. Please fix.
I did notice that all the policies had, you'll get a significant bonus if you have a patch.
Yeah, which is good. Oh, that's another one. Bam. Yeah, I mean, that does help. But, I mean, as people have pointed out, a lot of the quality of patches is not good. Hackers can't write patches. Hackers can, but they're bad at it, right?
If I
was a good developer, I wouldn't be working as a hacker.
So, I mean, what I was saying before was most security bugs, like, I would say the majority of security bugs can be fixed with, like, just a few lines of code.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you had a different opinion on that. Because it doesn't, like, fix the systemic issues, I guess.
It doesn't. And if you consider, like, this apt one, for example, it's like, sure, you probably could do a one-line fix, but I think it's probably more important to think, oh, shit, do we have this problem anywhere else?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to be able to say, like, or, like, maybe is this the best way of doing it? Because you could just say, disable redirects, and then that's one way to fix it. And if I was a hacker, I'd be like, yeah, just turn off redirects, bro. But that's not really a good solution. I think a lot of people would complain about that solution. So, I don't know. The other thing is, like, you know, when you submit a patch to an open source project, there's, like, at least, like, a week of fucking back and forth tweaking even minor things.
So, like, I guess when I find... So, like, I do fuzzing and stuff, and, like, when I find a bug in something, I will, like... I'll find it in a certain area. I'll look for that same bug in, like, different areas of the code.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good, yeah.
Because, like, I know if it exists once, it will be everywhere. And I mean, I guess I do the same thing at work. Like, if I find cross-site scripting somewhere, I'll look in a few other places.
Do you find any good bugs at work?
Yeah, real bugs. We were actually talking the other day how one of my cross-site scripting got a free lunch.
Yeah, we were, yeah. I guess if that's all you can find, we have to let... If that's all you...
Mate, you know I find more than you.
Well, more XSS. Yeah, I know. I concentrate on the real bugs.
You just spend far too long on one bug.
Yeah, I do tend to delve quite deep. I'm like,
the
RNG is seated slightly wrong. I wonder how much brute forcing I need to be able to spend 2 days going
that's
over
right.
the map,
yeah,
like,
you were
looking
at
the source code. Do you remember that one where fucking...
You were close as well, but didn't you, like, find a bug in PHP?
Fucking there was one with a bug in PHP where they implemented a feature back in, like, PHP 3, and they broke it in PHP 4, and it was broken all the way up to, like, PHP 5.7 where they got rid of the feature. And I was like, fuck, it was so close. Yeah, I do tend to overanalyze some bugs. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. But, anyway, EU Bug Bunny.
Yeah, so there's a new Bug Bunny.
I don't know how I feel about it. Bug Bunnies, I think, are bad. People tend to give them more rep than they are. When I say they're bad, like, if you want to do it, sure. I just don't think it's a good use of money.
Yeah. I would prefer the money going to the developers to make better software. But,
yeah.
Like, I guess you also have to have... what's happening with that buzzer's light? It's like flashing heaps.
Not sure. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so like if you just give like all the money to the developers to make better stuff, you might still have security flaws.
Yeah.
So you do have to have some sort of a mix.
Yeah, but I like tend to prefer auditing and pen testing. Like I yeah, I don't know. The quality of bugs raised with bug bounties is bad. I think it's like it tends to be a fairly exploitative industry as well. It's kind of like Uber, where it's like, yeah, sure, Uber is useful and it helps us, but it's like at the societal cost is perhaps not what we want to be incentivizing. And like, I don't know, it's not something I'd like strongly believe. Like, I'm not going to be like, you immoral bug bounty person. Like, I don't care. But yeah. I think there is like a social cost with that, as well as the fact that it's a lot of money, a lot of overhead for perhaps not as much as you might get from other things. I don't know.
Hello, Professor Oak.
What up, G?
Where do you hail from?
He's in Texas, in Houston.
I know him. I thought this was just a rando.
No, I'm not a random person. Random person, but yeah. Okay. Well,
I remember those days where just randoms would turn up.
Yeah, no one comes up. Maybe they're like, this channel's been around long enough and all the random people never come back. It's not a good channel. Their artificial intelligence has betrayed us. Okay, what's the next story? Let's change lanes again.
So up in Auckland.
Was that a red light? No, it was green. Sorry. My bad.
I can check.
Oh, that was fine.
Yeah, that's just as green as they come. Like.
From here, the screen, I can't see colors properly. And, and so I was looking at the green light down the bottom and thought, that's where the red light is. Is that a red light?
So up in Auckland, the fares to use public transport, so like buses and trains and ferries, I guess. They're going up by 7%.
And I think we did describe last week.
Did we?
Not this. Last week, the news story was Auckland considering giving free fares to everyone. Right? That was last week's story, right?
Yeah, so this is like the Auckland Transport AT. They're like, we need to do shit.
Yeah, they're
we need more money.
Yeah,
so they asked the council and like some other people, I think council and NZTA being like, hey, we need more money to do this. Like, can you like help us out or like cover half the cost? And everyone was like, Let you do it. You just do it yourself.
Yeah.
So now they're putting up 7%. 7% is a pretty hefty increase.
I think they said it was variable based on things like whether you had a card, whether you were paying by cash.
Right.
Where it was. So it's variable, but it is an increase. It's an increase that for some people will hit them quite hard.
So they've done some modeling and they reckon they know how many trips this is going to basically stop.
Yeah.
So like this will stop so many trips from now being a trip.
Yeah.
How many do you reckon that is?
It must be like 7% price increase. Okay, the one thing I will say that makes it hard to say is rich people in Auckland don't use public transport.
Yeah.
So it probably affects them quite strongly. 2% of, no less, 1%.
The article is kind of shit because it doesn't give percent. It just gives a big number.
We don't know if that's big or small.
Yeah,
then.
I know. Well, it's like 870,000 trips, they reckon.
Over what period?
Because
if that's over the next 10 years, then I think we're okay. But if that's over the next, like, 1 month, then damn, we should probably fix that.
Yeah, I think it just... Fuck, I hate stuff.
These journalists, they're fucking shitty. I hate them.
It just doesn't say anything.
I hate that, because like clearly someone was like, we need a big number in here. And they pulled one out of their ass, and then were like, oh, what does this number mean? And no editor thought to be like, yeah, like, ugh. That would not pass our internal QA process.
Like, damn, I learned that shit in primary school. Like, if you want to be a reporter, you have to like have numbers and stats and like...
facts.
Explain what it means.
Well, that's different. You didn't see a stuff reporter, did you? They didn't say how to be a stuff reporter. They said how to be a real reporter.
Yeah.
Also, no offense to any journalists at Stuff, but a little bit of offense because you keep putting out shitty articles. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to you personally, but also you probably should... You should be offended on behalf of your company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's that.
For those who don't know, Stuff is a shitty little, like, kind of... I think they're probably the most popular online news site, right?
Oh, it's crazy, right?
They're real popular, but their journalistic quality is shockingly low.
Yeah.
They just often have typos.
Grammar.
Yeah, like, that's kind of thing, just like, it's poor.
Like, just plain wrong facts sometimes.
They're just often wrong, yeah.
I think that's enough of that. Do you want to talk about some DNS?
Yeah, okay, so this one's real interesting. There was a emergency directive. Let me bring up the thing, because the phrasing is like fucking hardcore. Yes, emergency directive.
Emergency!
19-01. So I believe this is the first emergency directive. This was issued by the Department of Homeland Security, mitigating DNS infrastructure tampering. This is a real, like, it's so surprising. I didn't know this worked. DHS in the USA can issue directives to basically anyone they fucking feel like, federal agencies rather, and say, you have to do this. So they've got a little thing here, but the point is they're saying people have been doing DNS hijacking on federal infrastructure. And they have technical details in this. Using the following techniques, attackers have redirected and intercepted web mail and traffic and could do so to other network services. So it says, like, they begin by compromising, like, creds, phishing, that kind of thing, and then they change all the MX records. And I'm like, this is real good information. Like, the fact that they're putting out this level of technical detail is really, really good. Anyway, required actions is to audit the DNS records. They have 10 days for that. Next is change all DNS account passwords. So, and within 10 business days, update the passwords for all accounts on systems that can make changes to DNS records. And then action 3, add multi-factor authentication to DNS accounts. Within 10 days, you have to implement MFA on all accounts that can make DNS changes. Like, damn. Okay, 10 days, that is tight. We don't even give, like, 10-day deadlines to any of our people. Like, that's real tight. But the biggest thing with this is, of course, it's a government shutdown right now.
Yeah, there
IT workers aren't working. So probably... The head of a federal agency is going to have to be like, well, we can't do this, and maybe they'll get like non-technical people to try and do it. I don't know, but the actual directive, amazing quality. Big ups to the DHS for this, which I never thought I'd say that phrase. Like, good work, DHS. But yeah, the actual implementation, fuck knows. Interesting to see this specific threat. I don't think I've ever seen this kind of thing be issued before. Like, this specific...
Yeah.
Like, people are hijacking DNS accounts and modifying the MX records. Like, that is so specific. They don't say actors involved, but still.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing for everyone else. You should also have MFA enabled.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do if someone got access to your domain? It'd fuck you, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, the thing with the DNS is, like, a lot of shit runs off it.
Because mail is the big thing.
Oh, my God. So... I was trying to get some repilers doing some stuff.
Some repilers? Oh, yeah, for the house.
For the house.
Yeah.
And so I went to their website and they were like, yeah, contact us at this, and had an email address at a different domain.
Weird.
And so I send an email. It bounces back being like, that's not a domain. And I'm like, oh, fuck, they forgot to renew. So then I click on the contact page on their website.
Yeah.
It redirects to an IP. Like, not a domain name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not good.
And then just gives the same email address being like, yeah, just contact us here, mate. Or like ring us up. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to. So the original domain, like the website's on, doesn't have any MX. But
how are people contacting them? How
by calling them up?
Oh, we've never got an email in the last year. Huh,
I know, it's so weird because our neighbors like recommended them to us, and I'm like, like we'll hit them up, but I don't know, it's just in too hard bucket. Them. Like, I don't want to fucking call someone up just to.
Because you just said it's been like 10 minutes explaining the details, whereas you could, what I like to do is send an email that has all the details, so lengthy email, and at the bottom say, call me on this number. And that way they can, at their own time, figure it out, especially with work like that, right? Where what you kind of want is someone to figure it out, estimate everything, and then after they've estimated everything, get back to you after that.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, that's kind of going off DNS stuff.
Well, I was at someone's business the other day. I was consulting with them for a particular business requirement I have.
Yep.
I don't want to like give away too many details of who it was, but... I went to the website a while back, and it redirects. It's that fucking Drupal malware that redirects to another website, but only on the very first load. So it's IP based. If you access, you fucking weirdo. If you access it from the same IP address, you only get redirected the first time. And so I told them, and she had no idea what was going on. You fucking weirdo. And they were just like, oh, the website's hacked. Oh, that's funny, isn't it? Oh, we'll see if we can get something done about that. I'm like, okay. Clearly, this isn't going to be resolved.
I love how your tech support now.
Ugh.
It's just your job now.
Just never tell anyone about any mistake. Just you're hacked? Don't even worry about it, bro. Carry on. You'll be fine, mate.
Anyway, looking at the time, we should...
All right, well, let's...
Go on. Do you want to talk about some...
Quickly, I just want to mention VLC doesn't have HTTPS on their update website. This is not interesting, except that it's created a lot of Twitter drama, and everyone loves Twitter drama.
Oh, so one thing with the HTTP thing, people were commenting that the releases.ubuntu.com HTTP. Like, they just don't have HTTPS.
Yeah, okay. Those are signed, though, right?
Yeah, they're signed, but, like, who checks the signature? And
no,
also...
Because people use do-release-upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Or you download the... Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, supply chain, if you download the, like, ISO, that could be compromised, right?
Yeah.
And,
like, you can give a... you can't really give a compromise certificate, but like you can just be like, here's a signature and here's the key ring that you need to import.
Yeah. It's hard, yeah.
Trust in GPG. Let's not start with that.
I know, yeah. It's a tough problem to solve. I think we can make small improvements is probably the best we can do for now. And yeah, HTTPS is a small improvement. It doesn't solve everything. It doesn't hurt though.
Yeah, so VLC just doesn't use HTTPS?
Yeah, it doesn't. But they are signed.
Yeah,
but the signing is a little bit fragile. Last time this came up, like 6 months, a year ago, people were like, "Here's a bunch of bugs in your like kind of signing verification procedure," But, yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah. And people are like, oh, we shouldn't have to. And I'm like, I don't give a shit whether you have to or not. Just do it. Do the easier thing. It's easier to do that. Like, who cares whether it makes a significant difference if it's better to do? Anyway, the last thing here was someone audited, a once-over audit of the 7-Zip crypto implementation.
Yeah. So I like the people that just like pick a random thing. Like Silvio does it as well. Like
He does. Yeah,
just pick a random project.
That's like, Silvio, the MasterChef guy.
Yeah, and just fucking let's do a source code review, and they've just find random shit.
I've done it before with like PHP apps because that's like more for Tay, right? I think you need to be quite familiar with the language you're using. To better just casually look at stuff.
Yeah, I think I read like a blog post on some guy was like going on a long trip and he basically downloaded the Pigeon source code before going on the plane.
Pigeon be a nice
and player. He just like read through the source and be like, oh, here's a bug, here's a bug, while like fucking on a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he got down and he's like, damn, I gotta like report all this.
Yeah, there's lots of report. But yeah, this is the This is like the zip, not zip crypto, but the one that's actually like proper 7-Zip.
Yeah, so not the PK zip.
Yeah.
Which, damn, that's a, like, that's just like the original PK zip from like the 90s.
Yeah, it's very old.
Which people still use.
Hard to crack with Hashcat, actually. It's like not super well supported. Anyway, I think it's it for us. We got one last one. Zombies. What the fuck was zombies about? What does zombies mean?
Did we finish 7-Zip?
Yeah.
What was the issue?
There was just, the specific issue was...
you were just like, there's an issue.
Someone audited stuff, yeah. a lot of the... So it looks like there's a lot of bugs in there, but some stellar ones that got pulled out were the IV was initialized using, like, SRAND time.
SRAND time with the PRD, and, like, half of the IV was just null bytes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was, like, a half of it or something. So...
So it was real low entry.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you have the IV, like, you can get the IV, but, like, can you really do much more with that?
Yeah, so if the IV is a small enough key space and you can generate duplicate IV. So the times when a bad IV generation matters is if you can generate, like, 10 million encrypted zips and some of them happen to have the same IV, then you can infer data about information about the data, I guess. So it's like one of those crypto bugs that's a sign like, hey, the people implementing this had no idea what they were doing. But it's also like not super exploitable.
Yeah.
But that being said, I wouldn't be surprised to see more bugs in there.
It was kind of interesting because they're using like AES and like it kind of like... When you just like blindly look at it, you're like, oh yeah, this is using AES. Like it's done right. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And it makes you think about like the low level, like sure you're using AES, but
yeah.
Are you utilizing the primitives? Like, well?
Yeah. There's a lot of issues like that. Like no one ever breaks, people don't break AES, but they break other stuff. Right?
Yeah.
What's the zombies thing?
We don't really have much time left.
Ah, fine. I'll ask you about it later.
So zombies, zombie buses, basically.
We're here in Wellington.
In Guatemala, mate.
I'm gonna need to hear about it.
Right. I guess. Brief. Do we have time?
No, but just give me a one sentence summary.
There are zombie buses in Guatemala.
The fuck does that mean?
They came from like Washington, I think.
They buy cheap buses.
they buy...
Take them to Guatemala. And then they replace the shit buses. Oh, yeah, so they're like getting old buses that no one else wants and replacing the shit ones in Guatemala.
Yeah, which is kind of...
That's us. That's what we do in Wellington.
Yeah.
So we're on the Guatemala
It's kind
level.
Of interesting because it touches on like environmental costs as well. So like people will... give like old cars to random places as well, and so there's like heaps more pollution in these like developing countries
because they have all the old shit that's got bad standards. Yeah. But the other thing is like the
which
alternative.
Is what's fucking happening in Wellington? We got electric buses. We'll just get rid of them and get fucking old diesel buses. Yeah.
I guess. But the other thing is like if you have to throw out the cars anyway, like what's better? Is it better to throw out cars that it pollute a lot?
I think you can recycle cars quite a lot. Like there's a lot of scrap.
Yeah, don't give them to third world countries. But then they had no cars. The other thing is, we had those cars before they did. We fucked the environment up. And then we're saying, but not you. We're holding you to a higher standard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a complicated situation.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, anyway, that's for zombies. I don't know why they called it zombies.
You're not in Guatemala now, Dr. Ropata. Okay, we'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya, Guatemala.
Libus Vector. Oh yeah.